Good morning and good to see everybody. I thank you to Lester for that and to Duane. I appreciated that a lot. I thought before I get into my testimony, I'd tell a little story from yesterday evening. Yesterday evening, my wife and I and some friends went bowling. And if you're not familiar with game, the sport of bowling, there's a lane about 3 feet wide and about 30 feet long, and you throw a ball. The aim of the game is to throw the ball down that lane, and there's some pins at the end of the lane, and you try to knock all the pins over. There's 10 pins, and I haven't gone very many times in my life, so I'm not that great of a player, but there's a gentleman playing just to the lane beside of us. This guy was good. He got 10 pins time after time after again. Sometimes he'd only get 9 down, and he was a good player. However, it was kind of interesting watching him because the times that he didn't get all 10 down, the times he only got 9 pins down, he got this. And even sometimes when he got all 10, he got this funny look on his face, like he looked like he was going to cry. He looked like he got this big dejected look in his face. It looked, I mean, without poking fun at him, he looked kind of like this. He looked so sad. His shoulders were hunched forward, and he had he just looked so dejected and alone, and my heart went out to him after a while, and I just wondered how many lies this gentleman had going through his head, how much shame he had in his heart and in his head. I wondered how long he'd have to be get 10 pins until he really believed that he was of value, how soon he would be contented, how soon he'd be thankful to God for his, I guess, talent, how soon he'd be comfortable. And I also wondered who told him that he was no good, who told him he's not perfect or of value. I just would be interested in hearing that. Anyway, I would like to read a song. And the title is My Story, and it's written by Michael Weaver and Jason Ingram. If I told you my story, you would hear hope that wouldn't let go. And if I told you my story, you would hear love that never gave up. And if I told you my story, you would hear life, but it wasn't mine. If I told you my story, you would hear victory over the enemy. And if I told you my story, you would hear freedom that was won for me. And if I told you my story, you would hear life overcome the grave. If I should speak, then let it be of the grace that is greater than all my sin, of when justice was served and where mercy wins, of the kindness that Jesus that draws me in. Oh, to tell you my story is to tell of him. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. And I like that song because it is a testimony of my heart. I spent a week in Dave's office, and then several follow-up days a number of years ago. I had some pretty complex things to work through, and I thank God that he led me to Peaceful Art Ministries. I wasn't in a good place mentally, spiritually, or emotionally back then, and I don't think I'd be in a good place without it. God really used Peaceful Art Ministries to reach me. Dave really listened me out and told me God's views and what I was facing, what I was believing. And he teaches pretty simple stuff, yet very complex stuff. It's straight out of the Bible. My story has childhood sexual abuse. It has guilt, pain, rejection, inferiority complex, inadequacy, shame, conflicts. My next older brother passed away due to cancer, so I had a lot of grief, a lot of anger. I was very lonely. I had confusion. I had trust issues. Had self-blame. I had walls to keep others out and to prevent others from getting too close. I was furious at God. I retreated inside. I blocked the world out. I had a nice grin on the outside, but I was very lonely and angry inside. In my later youth years, I made a pretty bad decision and committed some sinful sexual acts. I learned the truth in the verse where it says the way of the transgressor is hard, and I retreated into my own quiet world. The following few years were quite tough. I hated myself a lot for having sinned in the way I did. I grew very deeply depressed and angry. I tried pretty hard to keep a nice friendly facade, but I think my anger surfaced a lot more than I thought. It seemed I couldn't get over from all the shame from the sins I'd committed. I was really angry at myself. I had a lot of self-hate. And I felt really bad. I felt so bad I needed to protect people around me from myself, and they were better off and happier if I wasn't around. And I didn't like hanging out with people at all because they were probably thinking about my sins all the time. And notice the lies in what I was thinking and believing. I dropped into a silent, depressed world of anger, self-hate, shame, developed a porn addiction as well as alcohol to drown out the guilt and loneliness, contemplated suicide at length, and I had several strategies in the back of my head. I got involved in some occultic things that also bound me a lot. I hid inside, I shut the world out, and tried to turn my feelings off. Notice the effects of lies. Sometimes I tried to pray, but that didn't work. But eventually, thank God, I broke. The pivotal hour for me was an evening that Gospel Express was singing in Milverton, and Nelson Koblenz was there and presented a 20-minute sermon on the love of the Father God. He showed a slideshow of some big tough guys that were in prison that just allowed God's love to heal them of their massive pain and their wounds, and those guys could accept God's forgiveness for their atrocious sins. And I remember thinking that if these big guys could get through to God, or if God could get through to them, perhaps God would heal me and forgive me and bring some value back to my life. And again, please notice the truths in some of those thoughts. When Nelson Koblenz finished speaking, he gave time for anyone that wanted some prayer to stand and someone to pray for us. God gave me a lot of hope that evening. I hadn't had hope for a long time. So hope is an effect of God's truth. It took quite a few months after that till I met with Dave, but I remember in that time being in a lot of deep thought and quite a bit of confusion, being hopeful and yet still having a lot of bondage. When I met with Dave, he helped me forgive my older brother, friend who abused me as a 11-year-old. And for the first time in my life, someone took some time to ask pointed questions about that abuse, and he explained an awful lot to me about how those events affected me. And Dave also helped me surrender to God's decision to take my older brother away from our family due to cancer. And Dave helped me see the love and the kindness of God through that grief, or through that loss. And please notice the effects of God's truth. There's love and kindness, and that's so freeing. One big concept for me was that I really needed to help with facing the fear of losing more people. After I lost my older brother, I subconsciously developed a belief that I lost him because I guess I liked him too much, or I let him in too deep, or I was too connected to him. It sounds twisted, but it is a belief that a heart can adopt. And so I figured, or I guess my heart figured, that if I block people out and don't connect deeply with them and don't like them too much, and then if I lose them, it won't hurt as much. I don't know if that makes sense. I guess if any of you have lost, it might make more sense to you if you've lost somebody, but that's a really significant thing. But it is very lonely. If you keep people out, man, that's lonely. So Dave helped me understand that I need to open up my heart to people even if I might lose them sometime. It's okay to fear losing people. Sometimes you do lose them. But man, it's very lonely. Dave helped me through that process of accepting that you're not in charge of who you're allowed to love and who you get to keep in your life, but it is worthwhile. It is worthwhile loving while they are here, loving while we have them. We have to learn how to love with an open palm. We can't hang on to people because God's in charge of that. And also want to note here that sometimes believing God's truth can seem dangerous, because loving with an open palm, or holding on to people and demanding that God keeps them in our lives, that's a dangerous place to be, because there's a lot of risk because you never know who God's going to take next, right? Another big concept for me that Dave helped me out was to realize that God did forgive my sins and that God wanted a relationship with me. He actually did want to talk to me again. He wants to forgive. He wants to cleanse. He wants to unburden my shoulders of guilt and shame. He paid for the sins. And notice the truth, the freeing truth. Another point that I needed to learn was that hating myself and beating myself up for months and months, this points back to the shame I had for the sexual sin, it doesn't bring restoration or healing to continue beating myself up. I can't pay for my sins. They won't go away by hating myself or hanging myself up in a hook and like taking a stick and just constantly berating myself. That's not responsibility. That doesn't take away the effects of sin. Only God can do that. And that's that's very relieving. There's a lot of bondage that goes away. Notice the effects of those truths. A lot of bondage was broken when I chose to believe that Jesus really paid for my sins. I am justified. It is easy to believe those truths in our head, but it's another thing to actually believe them for myself. It's actually true in my story. God's truths. We spent lots of time in prayer in Dave's office. I don't know if it really makes sense to everybody, but I didn't always have the ability to pray outside of Dave's office, but I found it much easier, it was much safer, felt closer to Jesus in his house. That's really real. I had to learn that God could be trusted to handle my life. Learned that Jesus wants to heal and comfort. And recently I came across a homework assignment that Dave had me complete when I was receiving counseling with him. And I made a list of the lies that I found out that I had believed. I'm not good. I'm all alone. I'm inadequate. I'm a failure. I feel cheap. I will never amount to anything. I'm hopeless. I don't care. I'm an idiot. I should be able to do what's right on my own. I'm not worth anything. It's my fault. It's always my fault. Something is wrong with me. I have nothing to offer. I don't deserve anything. Everyone else is more important than me. Nobody understands me. I don't measure up. They would all be better off without me. Nobody cares what I think or how I feel. If only I were a better person, then people would like me. There's nothing in me for anyone to love. If God can't change me, then I just give up. God won't hear my prayer if I'm not perfect, so why bother praying? Life is too hard and painful. There's no point in trying. They'd all be better off without me, so I may as well give up. I may as well just end this. And that's a lot of lies. And trust me, believing those lies wrecks a guy's life. The enemy has a crazy heyday, or had a crazy heyday in my head. The confusing thing about these lies is that our feelings line up with them so accurately. Our confused heads find all kinds of proofs everywhere we look that these lies are true. And everything that we think that everybody else is thinking about us confirms our lies. Lies are so believable. They make so much sense. I say that kind of tongue-in-cheek. Dave listens keenly for lies. I'm pretty sure he can smell them a mile down the road. But he speaks God's truth deep into the heart. He gives lots of scripture to read and encourages people to believe the truth, not just the lies that the enemy drops into our heads when we're guilty, lonely, angry, addicted, fearful. In response to some of the lies that I had believed, I had to ponder these truths, and I had to really believe them. I had to ask God to help me believe them. I'm God's child. God never forsakes me. My sufficiency is through Christ. It's not of mine. God always gives me more than I can give back to him. God has a special plan for my life. We can truly trust Jesus. God created me for his glory and is good enough to make good things out of my story. I don't need to fear. God made me perfect for him. With God's grace and power, I can be useful for him. God's love is aimed at me in spite of my weakness. I'm important to Jesus. My worth to God is not based on my performance. God can change me. God's ways are higher than mine. God made me with the gifts I have, and he makes no mistakes. When he tried me, I shall come forth as gold. And those are huge truths, and they're life-changing truths. They will change your life if you ask God to help you believe them. But it is easier to believe the truth when somebody takes a week of their time to hear my story and use his years of wisdom and experience to speak deep into the dark, swirling, confusing thoughts and feelings that come from the lies. There's nothing quite like bondage rolling away when you identify a life. That is, it's so apparent that it's God. It's one thing to have truth in our heads. It's the next thing to have to actually believe it in our hearts. For example, I remember going through times where I thought to myself, are you serious that God isn't disgusted by me when he looks at me? I remember being quite incredulous about that. Are you sure I can be useful to God even after all the mistakes I've made? Are you sure that people will forgive? When they get to know me, will they hate me? Like, I was incredulous about that. I want to, there's three things that I've learned, three bullet points I'd like to share. One thing about the healing process is that it takes a lot of time. Sometimes there are aha moments when a light bulb turns off. There's the Spirit shines the light on a lie and you say, wow, that's great. There are other things about the healing process that take a lot of time. Be patient with that, especially if wounds and traumas are significant. It can take time. Another thing to understand about lies is that they are incredibly hidden. They're a bit like rats in an old barn. If you can see two or three, you know there's 30 more running around, eating out the insulation in the walls and dragging diseases in from the outside. A lot of parallels could be made there. Lies are incredibly full of bondage. I beg of you to pray that God will show you lies in your thought processes, as well as the lies behind your fears and your doubts that are deep in your heart. God will show you. He smiles his favor on people that pray like that. He just cherishes those humble prayers. Remember that the fearful and unbelieving won't enter heaven, but the brave and honest and humble will. When I look back over the years of my healing process and continued healing, I can point to different things that God placed in my life. Family, lots of friends, my wife. But I realize that Dave and the Peaceful Heart ministry was a very significant one in my process. So thank you to the board and to Dave, and God bless you all.